Hi, everybody. It's John Cooper with the Red Dirt Radio Hour, KOSU, and The Spy. And today we are talking with a guy we've known for quite a long time in the business, a friend from down in Texas way. It'd be Mr. Robert Earl Keene. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. And you?
I'm doing best. I'm doing fabulous.
That's cool, man. Are you down there in Bandera?
No, I live in Kerrville now. I woke up one day and decided to move my tent 25 miles north.
I see. Well, last time I talked to you, you were living down at Bandera, and you were counting animals for the state of Texas, and they were paying you to do that.
Well, you know, I try to keep my hand in that whole animal counting business as much as possible.
That's a pretty good way to go, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, so you're in Kerrville. Beautiful country, man.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love it, love it, love it.
Yeah, sure. Well, hey, a couple things to talk about this today. Number one, you got the new record out, the Live Dinner Reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Man, tell me about it. 20 years later, you go back to John T. Floor's Country Store?
Yeah, it was a great thing. It started out as a gig, just a, you know, like a anniversary gig, 20-year anniversary of that particular record, number two, Live Dinner. So then as it got closer, I thought, well, you know, it'd be fun to have some friends. So we talked to, we got Reckless Kelly to come play and Cody Canada to come play. And then got even closer. I thought, you know, it'd be fun to sing some of these songs with my friends over the years that I have over the years. So I got Lyle Lovett, Joe Ely, Bruce Robinson, Corey Morrow, my old band members, Brian Duckworth and Mark Patterson. And, man, I mean, it was the absolute all-time best night of music and camaraderie that I've ever experienced in the whole in my life in music.
Hey, man, that's really cool, and that's something to say because you've been in it for a long time.
Long, long time.
I know.
And, it was exactly what you think about music when you get into it. You know, you think it's about, you know, playing music with your friends and getting out there and, you know, having a good time and telling stories, and that's what it was all about.
Well, that's really cool. I mean, it had to be a kick to get back with Duckworth and Patterson, and Rich, of course, has been there the whole time. But how was it getting with the old band?
Oh, it was fun. I mean, you know, the thing is like, everybody left for different reasons, but all of it was, you know, good-hearted and stuff. But I always missed Duckworth and Patterson because they are – two of the funniest people I've ever been around, and I mean, it wasn't any different. As soon as they got there, they were just making everybody just fall down laugh, and you know, it was just, it was really, it that truly was a big part of the night, was just having them around and you know, kind of reliving some of the old days. But also, you know, everybody was talking, you know, like, you know, Cody Canada and the Reckless guys, you know, they all talked about how much the whole number two Live Dinner influenced them, as far as like not so much musically, but as far as like, you know, hearing a sound that they could totally relate to and feel like, you know, it was part of something in their own backyard. And you know, they're just, it was just story after story, and it was all about, you know, the night, and it couldn't have been any better.
Man, that's really cool, and I can vouch for Patterson. He's left me on the floor more than once.
He's a funny guy.
He truly is, man. What a character. Well, hey, man, you know, you've done lots of live records. Is there a reason? Do you like recording it and doing it in a live setting? What's the reason for all the live records?
Well, there's the irony. I don't. What I usually end up doing is I record stuff to have a record of it, or, you know, archive it, you know, so I can go back and listen to it. That's how the first number two Live Dinner started, was I just wanted to record the sound of the band. And, you know, back then, it was, you had to, you know, hire a truck. So, I mean, we hired a truck that, I don't know, came out of Mexico, and it had, like, you know, the front bumper falling off and paint chipping everywhere, and they came and, you know, recorded it and had to tie up all the microphones, band wire stuff. But, you know, we got a good recording of it. And then when, you know, listening back, I thought, well, this would be fun to put out. So I put it out. Actually, I didn't think that. I actually handed it to my old friend Barry Potts, who ran Sugar Hill Records, and I was leaving. And I loved Barry to death, and so I gave it to him, and I said, look, do something with this if you want to, you know, and he did. So that's how that record came out, sort of an accident. And then, you know, the rest of them is sort of the same thing, you know. I did one at the Ryman Auditorium. All I really wanted to do was just record it, but, you know, listening back and playing it for a few people, you know, people say, oh, you ought to put these out. So, you know, basically, you know, I love a great studio record. You know, probably my all-time favorite record would be Marty Robbins' Gunfighter record, and you couldn't hear those harmonies outside.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
No, well, it's just interesting that you've released so many live records and you're not really doing them on purpose. They just kind of come out that way.
Yeah, they just kind of fall out there. But, you know, I mean, some people like them.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, it is kind of cool to listen back and, you know, see the sort of the differences and, you know, the changes in the band. And it's a good way to, you know, keep a document on your career.
Yeah, no, I got you, man.
Yeah.
While I got you, I've got to ask you about our old friend Lloyd Maines. Have you talked to Lloyd lately?
I haven't talked to him a couple months, but I'll probably be talking to him pretty soon. I'm going to try to figure out, you know, like a record with a, you know, in the studio record in 2017. So
no, I got it. We actually got to do our first gig with Lloyd last. Well, it's been about 6 months ago. Man, what a kick. We've known the guy for 20 years. He made 3 records with us, and to actually get to do a gig with him, wow.
Yeah.
You forget how good he is. Man. Good grief. Uh-huh. Let's see, man. Let's talk about, you're going to be here in the Oklahoma area. You're going to be in Midwest City at the Hudeberg Center on December 16th for your Merry Christmas from the Famo-Li 2016 tour. Tell us about that, man. You've been doing, I guess, what, this is the second or third year you've done this?
You know, we've been doing this stuff around the Christmas song forever, but we started doing, this will be the second time to go to Midwest City and play, but this Christmas show, you know, full-blown giant set, large can of fake snow, world's largest box tampons, Christmas trees, and, you know, Santa, and everybody in the band dresses up. But, you know, that's like kind of the pomp and circumstance about the whole thing. But the really exciting part about it is we do a theme every year. This year's theme is called Family Country Gold Jamboree. So every person in the band picks an iconic country singer to get up there and sing, you know, an abbreviated version of, you know, a famous, famous song. And, you know, that's just a hoot. I mean, it's hilarious. You know, these guys really, you know, the band really gets into it. And, you know, they make some pretty cool costumes and definitely, you know, sing the parts right. So, you know what it is? It's a celebration of the holidays. It's just about, you know, if you're not ready for the holidays, by the time you see the show, you will be after you see the show.
Hey, I love it, man. And that's the Hudeberg Center is really a nice spot. It's a nice hall they've got over there in Midwest City.
No, it's really good.
Yeah, yeah. We're happy to have it. We've actually played there a couple times, and yeah, man, it's first class all the way. Well, I want to ask a few more questions. Tell me, I want to know about the Bluegrass Sessions, the Happy Prisoner record. What was the genesis behind that? Why did you decide to do it? Just tell me about it.
Woke up one morning, and I wanted to do one forever, and I woke up one morning. Just like anything else you do in your life, you think, I'll get around to it. And then woke up one morning and said, if I don't do this today, I am not going to do it. And it's funny you mentioned Lloyd. I called Lloyd right off the bat. I just, you know, barely got the sleep out of my eyes and called Lloyd and said, can you do a bluegrass record? And he goes, well, hell yeah, I can do a bluegrass record. I said, okay, great. So we started putting together the songs and stuff. And fortunately, I called some of my friends, you know, Sarah Watkins and Danny Barnes and at the time Kim Warner came out. And then the band, the core band, you know, Rich is an incredible flat picker and great bluegrass player. And so we just used the core band and some, you know, really, really great, great, great musicians to supplement some of the sounds, and it was great. And I'll tell you why it was great. It's because we got in there, and most of these people had gone way beyond bluegrass. You know, they're doing all kinds of their own thing, you know, and some of it even kind of experimental. And all of a sudden, we all got to be 14 years old again, and we got to sing, you know, all those bluegrass songs that everybody knew. And it was so fun. It was like, oh, I can relax because I can play this thing all day long. So it was great.
Yeah, man, there's something about digging back into your roots, and I know we come out of a bluegrass kind of camp as well, and it's just fun to play those songs, man. I mean,
it is.
Fox on the Run, come on, let's do it, right?
Right. No, it is. It's fun, you know? I mean, you know, you get kind of like you want to be cool all the time, but every once in a while, it's totally great to be uncool.
No doubt about it. Okay, I want to ask you just a couple more questions. One, I've always wanted to ask about the man behind the drums. I know the story a little bit. You went up and played at LaVon Helm's barn in Woodstock. And I mean, was that the song? Sounds like it was just a total inspiration from seeing him and being there.
That was it. That was it. Bill was the one. He was the impetus behind that. Bill Whitbeck, the bass player, he was the one who said, you know, we should write a song about this because this is something that, you know, probably we'll never do again. And we didn't. We never did it again. So, you know, sat down and wrote it. And as all good songs, it didn't take us hardly any time at all to write that song. But, man, I mean, you know, talk about a memorable night. I remember just almost every minute of that night. But one of the greatest things was we all got to stand up on stage with that incredible world-class band that Levon had at the time and, you know, sing The Weight. So, I mean,
wow.
You know, that is every stoner's dream right there from the 70s. I mean,
no doubt.
You're a stoner from the 70s, that was just like, you know, I'm gone to heaven. There you go.
For sure, man. And Levon himself, we had the privilege to do one show where he was there, and man, what a gentleman he was, and how congenial and nice. It couldn't have been nicer. I'm sure you had the same experience.
Yeah, we did, definitely. Just see, well, I mean, he had us in his house afterwards. So
yeah, there you go, man.
What musician does that? That's amazing.
Yeah, well, it's pretty cool to have the gig right downstairs, right?
Right. It's the best.
Yeah, we all need that set up. Come on over to the house and pay a bunch of money and come on in. Yeah, come on.
No kidding. Yeah.
Okay, man, last question. I ask a lot of people this, but especially the Texas-Oklahoma guys. You know, there's the Red Dirt music scene, there's the Texas music scene, and now there's the Texas Red Dirt music scene. Do you think there's a difference? Is there a definition? Is it just words bannered about? I just interested in
I don't
take.
Know, but you know what we should do is, like, we should get, like, the founding fathers and, like, spend a weekend, say, I don't know, say, let's go to Texarkana or something, right? And all hang out there for a weekend and battle it out and come up with the badass name of all time that no one will ever be a dissenter from that idea. So that would be my feeling is, like, we should really get together on this, because otherwise what happens is it's just sort of at the whim at, you know, people saying stuff. So, you know, I think we ought to get together.
I know, man. I've never quite understood why there's always been this thing to try to make it the same thing. Because for me, it's not. You know, I love Texas music, and I love my friends and fans from down there in Texas. And I love, of course, I'm an Okie. So I've never seen the big deal about it. Maybe we should just, I agree, let's get the old guys together and we'll just make them say, this is what it is.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we should do, you know, because, I tell you, I'm not afraid of labels. People like, you know, I don't want to be called a country music guy or whatever, right, a rock guy, I don't know, I'm this kind of guy, right? Well, you know what, that's not really your choice, but what you should do is be able to, like, at least have a voice in figuring out exactly what you are and being part of, you know, because we don't live in a vacuum. We don't live on an island. So we're together, you know. I'm not kidding. We should all get together and figure this out, like, you know, with a case of Jack Daniels and some banjos and guitar. You
know? Hey, man, that sounds like an outstanding idea to me, actually.
Yeah, there you go.
You figure out the place, we'll come.
Okay.
Well, hey, Robert Earl Keen, great to talk to you today, man. Thanks for taking the time. Don't forget, everybody, he's going to be at the Hudeberg Center in Midwest City on December 16th with his Merry Christmas from the Famo Lee 2016 tour. Robert, thanks a million, man. Great to talk to you.
Thank you.